This is Backseat Box Office, episode number, can you believe this, episode number 200, for the weekend of August 15th through August 17th. This is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Art, how are you, sir?
I am doing well. A little worn and tired from a long day, but other than that, doing good.
Yeah, I'm doing good, too. And we obviously have a lot to talk about. So let's start with how the box office did last week. At number one, we have, to a lot of people's surprise, including us, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came in at $65.5 million. At number two, Guardians of the Galaxy came in at number two with $42.1 million. At number three, we had Into the Storm, which came in at $17.3 million. At number four, we had The 100-Foot Journey, which came in at $10.9 million. Lucy came in at number 5 with $9.4 million. And I'm going to keep going because someone picked something towards the bottom. At number 6, Step Up All In came in at $6.4 million. Hercules came in with $5.7 million. And at number 8, this is for you, Nick, Get On Up came in with $5.1 million. So, yes, we had to go for the top 8 for this week. So, Art, why don't you tell us how all the people's did last week?
Okay, it was not a horrible week, but not a stellar week either. We have a voicemail from Tad.
Hey, this is Tad calling in with my picks for this week. First off, I did go see Guardians of the Galaxy this week. It was awesome, and I will call in with my review of that later. Alright, so here are my picks. I'm going to keep Guardians of the Galaxy at one. I just don't think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is going to disrupt it or anything else. I was kind of looking forward to TMNT, but now I'm not so sure after seeing the reviews and stuff like that. Alright, so number one, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number two, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Number three, Into the Storm. Number four, 100-Foot whatever. And then number five is Step Up. So those are my picks, and I'll call in with my review of Guardians of the Galaxy. I'll probably call in with that tomorrow. But yeah, it was really good. I really liked it. It was a lot of fun. All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for the voicemail, Tad. And Jeff, I'm going to let you go ahead and summarize that because you two had the same picks.
All right, so I had Guardians of the Galaxy at 1, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at 2, Into the Storm at 3, The 100-Foot Journey at 4, and Step Up All In at 5. So I lost 2 points for missing Guardians of the Galaxy by 1, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles I missed by 1, Into the Storm and 100-Foot Journey were 0s, and Step Up All In I missed by 1, so that's 21 points.
Okay, next up we had a couple of 20s, but they did it different ways. We'll start with Kugaran. I will defer. Kugaran also put Guardians of the Galaxy in the top spot. That's going to be a reoccurring theme. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the second spot, also a reoccurring theme. Into the Storm in the third spot, not costing him any points. Step Up All in the fourth spot, costing him 2 points. And Lucy in the right spot in the fifth spot. So he lost a total of 5 points, bringing him in at a 20. Then we have my picks. Guardians of the Galaxy, number one. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number two. Into the Storm, number three. All three of us had the top same three picks. All four of us, everybody who participated. Step Up All In, I went within the fourth spot, costing me another point. And the 100-Foot Journey in the fifth spot cost me another point for a total of 20. And now we have a voicemail from Nick.
Hi, this is Nick. Number one, I'm going with Guardians of the Galaxy. Two, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Three, Into the Storm. Four, Lucy. Five, Get On Up. Thank you.
Thanks for the voicemail, Nick. So, once again, those top three spots, Guardians of the Galaxy, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Into the Storm. 3-point loss for the first three movies. And then he had Lucy in the number four spot, costing him a point, and then Get On Up in the fifth spot. I don't know where that came from, but whatever, cost him 3 points, and that bring him down to an 18. That brings us to the standings. Jeff has managed to catch up to Cougar Round. They are now tied for first place with 22.6. I am in the third spot with 22.3. Tad is just a little behind me with a flat 22. Britt is in the fifth spot with 21.6. And Nick is in the sixth spot with 19.6. And those are our standings for the week.
All right. Thank you, Art. Now we can talk about the Arts House. Something that is something more happy for Art than it is for me. Okay, and you'll see why in a second. So we had three players. I chose About Alex, which had a big fat zero. But the smarter players in this game, Art and Father Beast, both picked What If, which came in with $6,695. So they both got a point. So now our standings are Art has 5, Father Beast has 1, and I was feeling so good I finally got a point. Too bad that might be the only point this season. So I have 1 point. So Art, 5, Father Beast, 4, Jeff, 1. And now we exit for Jeff, Art's House of Pain. And now we can go over to something more happy. The $25 Amazon gift card contest. Since Tad had the highest listener total, he got an entry into the hat. So now he went from 1 to 2. So here are the standings for the, or not the standings, but the entries that go into the hat. Nick has 3, Tad has 2, Cougaron 1, Brittany 1. So that's that's kind of an even distribution for 6 weeks. 6 weeks of play.
Not bad.
All right. So that would conclude all of the business of what occurred last week. So now we can move on to this weekend in the box office. So, Art, why don't you tell us about the first of three movies that are opening in wide release this weekend?
Okay, I am going to tell you about The Expendables 3, rated 34% rotten on the tomato meter. 29 reviews counted, 10 fresh, 19 rotten. 95% want to see it out of 56,000 people. In The Expendables 3, Barney, Stallone, Christmas, Statham, and the rest of the team come face-to-face with Conrad Stonebanks, Gibson, who years ago co-founded The Expendables with Barney. Stonebanks subsequently became a ruthless arms trader and someone who Barney was forced to kill, or so he thought. Stonebanks, who eluded death once before, now is making it his mission to end The Expendables. But Barney has other plans. Barney decides that he has to fight old blood with new blood and brings in a new era of expendable team members, recruiting individuals who are younger, faster, and more tech-savvy. The latest mission becomes a clash of classic old-school style versus high-tech expertise in The Expendables' most personal battles yet. Lionsgate and Millennium Field present a new Image production. Rated PG-13, 2 hours and 6 minutes. Action and adventure. Directed by Patrick Hughes. Written by Dave Callahan and Sylvester Stallone. Starring Antonio Banderas, Jet Li, Wesley Snipes, Dolph Lundgren, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Kelsey Grammer, Terry Crews, a bunch of Russian people. Well, Slavic, I should say, not necessarily Russian.
Yeah, this movie is going to be the closest to G.I. Joe without it actually being G.I. Joe. I'm just going by some of the names. I mean, obviously you have Lee Christmas, Barney Ross, Conrad Stonebanks, Arnold's character's named Trench, Randy Couture's characters, Toll Road, Terry Crews, Hail Caesar, and then we all, of course, we have Nikolai Stanoev, who's tech guy. Yeah, I didn't see the first two, so why break my methodology?
You know, Expendables 2, I believe, is available on Netflix.
Good for them. Good for them.
Yes.
All right, so let's move on. I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
I was going to say the exact same thing. Let's move on.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right. So the two of three movies that are coming out this weekend, this one is called The Giver. Currently 53% on the tomato meter, 17 reviews, 9 fresh and 8 rotten. And out of the Rotten Tomatoes audience, 96% want to see it, roughly around 26,000 Rotten Tomatoes users. So here's the description. The haunting story of The Giver centers on Jonas, played by Brenton Thwaites, a young man who lives in a seemingly ideal, if colorless, world of conformity and contentment. Yet as he begins to spend time with The Giver, Jeff Bridges, who is the sole keeper of all the community's memories, Jonas quickly begins to discover the dark and deadly truths of his community's secret past. With this newfound power of knowledge, he realizes that the stakes are higher than imagined, a matter of life and death for himself and those he loves most. At extreme odds, Jonas knows he must escape their world to protect them all, a challenge that no one has ever succeeded at before. The Giver is based on Lois Lowry's beloved young adult novel of the same name, which was the winner of the 1994 Newbery Medal and has sold over 10 million copies worldwide. Rated PG-13, 1 hour and 40 minutes, this is a drama, science fiction, and fantasy, written by Lois Lowry and Vadim Perelman. Yeah, I don't know. Any opinions on this movie, Art?
Just from the description, just this description right here, because I'd seen the trailer and I didn't come to this conclusion. This kind of seems like a twist on the Eden story, like giving knowledge and then seeking to get out of Eden instead of being cast out of Eden, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I'm going to have to see if anybody else has made that kind of a comparison.
Yes. Well, something that was interesting is that this won the Newbery Medal in 94. So it took 20 years to get this to a movie. I found that kind of interesting.
Yeah. That's not surprising.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're, you know, we live now at more than an age where they're mining books, and I think it just didn't happen as often back then. Where now it seems like, you know, every other month we've got one that's like based on a book. So, you know, they have to dig a little deeper every now and then.
Okay.
I mean, it's no John Carter.
Yeah, well, you know. Okay.
We'll see where this goes. We'll see what the populace thinks. So let's move on.
Yeah. So,
actually,
Art, tell us about movie number three.
Yes, movie number three. Let's Be Cops. Rated 16% rotten on the tomato meter. 19 reviews counted, 3 fresh, 16 rotten, 66% would like to see it out of 24,000 user ratings. It's the ultimate buddy cop movie, except for one thing. They're not cops. When two struggling pals dress as police officers for a costume party, they become neighborhood sensations. But when these newly minted heroes get tangled in a real-life web of mobsters and dirty detectives, they must put their fake badges on the line. Rated R, 1 hour and 49 minutes. Action and adventure comedy. Directed by Luke Greenfield. Written by Luke Greenfield. Nicholas Thomas. Thomas Ian Nicholas. Really?
They
written
need more.
Nicholas Thomas.
They need Thomas more Nicholases.
Nicholas. Or yeah. More Thomases.
Yeah.
Something. Damon Wayans Jr. And I don't know any of these other people. Andy Garcia. I bet he's a villain.
Yes. Have you seen the trailer? He is a villain.
And that's okay. I've not seen the trailer, but it's Andy Garcia. I'm guessing he's a villain. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little eerie because there are certain parts of the
trailer. I have no interest in this.
There are certain parts in the trailer where Damon Wayans Jr. sounds like his dad. You know, Damon Wayans Sr.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You know. This yeah. kind of looks like a movie that might be a little sneaky, but probably not. I don't know.
I can see that. Yeah, mostly no. But we'll see.
All right, so that will do it for movies coming out in wide release. Yes, those are all the new movies. So now we can get to picks. And I guess I'll go first.
So you are up, sir.
Okay. So for number one, I think I'm going to stick with Turtle Power. And I'm going to put Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at one, even though I'm still a little bitter that Guardians didn't hang on. So I'm going to have Guardians of the Galaxy at number two. And I don't know. I'm going to put Expendables 3 at number 3. And I don't know why. I don't know where it's going to go. You know, I know it's not going to where it's going to go. It's going to be below number 2. I just don't know how far down. I'm going to put The Giver at number 4 and Let's Be Cops at number 5. And for my Arts House pick, okay. I had big trouble cuz there's 3 movies that I'd want to see. But I think I'm going to cross off Life After Beth because Aubrey Plaza screwed me last week with a 0. So I'm not going to pick her again unless she, you know, proves me wrong. But I'm going to go with The Trip to Italy, which is a comedy which has Steve Coogan and another actor. And I think there's a lot of improv in this movie. And I didn't see the first one, but it was I heard it was great. I had a coworker of mine said I had to see it because they do this riff off on Michael Caine impressions. So I'm just gonna throw a dart. It's not really gonna matter too much in this season because I'm so far behind. So I'm taking a shot with The Trip to Italy, and those are my picks. Art, you're up.
Okay, well, those look nothing like my picks. I actually am going to be crazy. Expendables 3 in the top slot.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you why, so that I don't sound completely out of my mind. Okay. Expendables 2 opened at $30 million. I am guessing that if Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles falls more than 50% and Expendables has any growth whatsoever as a franchise, that'll put it in the top spot. That's a long shot gamble, but that's my reasoning.
Okay.
Sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Okay. If you're going to throw analysis of a previous movie in there, yeah. but hey.
Right, sure, whatever. You know, yeah. I mean, not that it's ever worked out for me before, but, you know, that's at least the process that's going on in my brain so that I don't sound like a crazy person saying Expendables in the top spot.
Okay.
Okay, so Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles then falls into the second spot. Guardians falls into the third spot. I'm going to go with The Giver in the fourth spot, just like you did, and Let's Be Cops in the fifth spot. So, you shall see what happens. And I also went with The Trip to Italy.
Oh. Well, it's good news that we picked the same movie. Bad news that I won't make up any ground on you. But I do have the opportunity to try to make up...
Maybe I'll make up some ground...
...on Father Beast, because he has picked Ragnarok, if I'm saying that right.
Okay, Ragnarok.
All right, so
picks are... All right, sir. So let's share.
So, yeah, picks are done. So let's get to share time. Art, what'd you watch last week?
Okay, so I said that I purchased the Lego Movie, and I watched the Lego Movie. And you know what? Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. I thoroughly enjoyed that movie. I really did. I was ready to watch it again the next day. Aubrey has decided she doesn't really like it, so I'll be watching it without her at some point. Or maybe when she gets a little older. Yeah, she was just like, she watched it because we watched it, we stood up late, and late for her. We're like, okay, we're going to watch this movie, and if you behave and lay down and don't act up, you can stay up late and watch the movie. So she stayed up and she watched the movie, and she watched the entirety, but she has not exhibited any desire to watch the movie again. She enjoyed it, you know, she laughed, she clapped, you know, whatever. But yeah, she does not want to repeat. We had been looking for time Toy Story 2. We managed to find it at Half Price Books for like $15 of the Blu-ray and DVD combo, so that was not a bad deal, and we managed to watch that already because Brittany is a big Toy Story fan, and I've been continuing to drill through on Avatar and Arrow. Oh yes, new show. New show. Skin Wars. Have you seen the preview for this?
No.
It is people body painting naked people in front of other things to the point where it makes them almost invisible to the eye.
Hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't watch that.
Yes. Well, okay. I mean, but like I watch Face Off and I enjoy it, and I watch Heroes of Cosplay, you know, about costuming and you know, going to conventions for costuming and blah 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 blah. So it's in that artsy reality, you know, kind of a thing. So yeah, I'm down, I'm into it. Oh, and I've been watching the Will Wheaton Project, and I've been enjoying that.
Yeah, that's I enjoy that show also, even though I've been forgetting to record it, so I haven't watched it in a while.
Ah, yeah, I set it up to record, and then every now and then I go through and drill through a few episodes. So yeah, but I'm enjoying it. And I guess that's about it for my share time. How about yourself, sir?
Okay, well, we had my nieces stayed over for the weekend, so we decided to take them to a movie. We took the kids to see Planes, Fire, and Rescue.
Oh, okay.
We enjoyed it. You know,
I feel like a hero, but...
No. My father-in-law who went with us said that he didn't think it was good as the first Cars, and I was kind of telling him that, you know, this is basically the fourth Cars movie.
Right. And, yeah, it is.
And so, I mean, you're not going to see... I don't think you're going to see any great twists. They're essentially going to go the same story. They're just going to execute the hell out of it. They had very good voice performances. I particularly enjoyed Curtis Armstrong, who you'll probably remember as Booger from Revenge of the Nerds. He played the, you know, because he, you know, so the story is Dusty ends up, he can't race anymore. So he has to become a firefighter. And so he goes to go train with Ed Harris, and the mechanic is, you know, Curtis Armstrong. And so, you know, it's very, the Ed Harris character is very much like Doc Hudson, where he doesn't really take him seriously, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and there's, you know, some trials and that kind of stuff. But I really, and you know, it's so visually stunning, that I didn't really need to follow the story so much. But I realize that, you know, I love helicopters, and not only are there planes in this one, but there's, you know, Ed Harris is a helicopter, and then they have another character that's a, you know, an Indian who's a helicopter. And I just, you know, I just love watching those sequences where they're flying around, and, you know, they did such a good job, you know, animating, you know, fire, and then, you know, Dusty's flying over crops and, you know, getting the wind right when he flies over that stuff.
Right.
So the movie flew by for me, no pun intended.
Okay.
So is it worth going to the theater? Probably not. It was an hour and 25 minutes. But you know, all the kids enjoyed it very much.
That's good. Okay.
My son didn't have to go to the bathroom. And that's also a good thing.
Oh, well, that is good. All right. I have a tangent question. So you love helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
So do you go out of your way to watch things with helicopters in them? Like, were you a big Airwolf fan back in the day? Or
I tried watching Airwolf. I really enjoyed Blue Thunder, which was a helicopter movie.
And that was the next thing I was going to mention was Blue Thunder. And the one I was going to mention after that was, what was the Private Eye, the two brothers.
Riptide?
Detectives. Riptide, yes, with Big Geek and Little Geek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did watch. I saw most of those. I thought you were gonna go Magnum PI because there's also a helicopter pilot in Magnum PI too.
Helicopter, yeah.
Yeah,
no, I was more of a Riptide guy, so I was just checking where you were at on that.
And Black Hawk Down, there was a lot of helicopters in that one. That was also awesome too.
Yes.
So I haven't seen I'm not on that level where I like own every helicopter movie. I just, you know.
No. I'm just saying, if you went out of your way to note them and enjoy them.
Yeah.
You know what? There was an old arcade game. I believe it was called. I think it was called Cobra Command.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, it was.
The saving the people, firing the, you know, having to turn to the side to shoot things that were coming up from the bottom of the screen, or I used to love me some Cobra Command.
Yeah, there is a lot of helicopter games that I remember. There was also Choplifter, where you had the rescue
Choplifter.
People. But yeah, we could probably go on and on with helicopter theme.
We could, but let's be fine. What else have you seen as
That was the only movie that I watched during the week. So, it's going to, my wife and I are going away for one night for our 15th wedding anniversary, and I think she wants to go see 100 Foot Journey. So I will report on that movie next week.
Okay, very good. Brittany wants to see it as well, but then there's also that If I Stay coming out, and she's like, "Oh, I want to go see If I Stay," and I said, "You know, you could go see that with Cece," and she's like, "Fine." She's like, "I go see movies with you." I'm like, "Fine, if you really want to see If I Stay, I will go see If I Stay with you." And I said, "But you know, given a choice between If I Stay and The 100-Foot Journey, I'd prefer to see The 100-Foot Journey. It's still a movie you want to see. It's still a movie I would go see with you. I just have a preference. Is that okay?"
Yeah, it sounds like her preference might be the other movie. Yeah, no, my daughter's really excited about If I Stay
because
she read the book, so she really enjoyed the story, so she's really looking forward to If I Stay. Okay, so we are done talking about movies that we watched, so now we can get to news. Art, do you want to start with the big news story of the week?
Sure. I mean, I'm sure at this point everybody has heard Robin Williams has passed away, and that was a shock. I was very, I don't know. I just, you know, he wasn't that old. What was it, 62? I think they said 62, 63, somewhere right in there.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
And I was like, wow. I didn't even know what to make of that. I was like, he had kind of, I believe he had kind of like fallen off in the last few years. You know, it wasn't, but it was still somebody I really respected and found funny. And, you know, and Brittany, obviously, you know, being younger, said, you know, she really didn't understand. And I'm like, no, that's fine. Yeah, I get why you don't understand. You haven't seen. You know, she could name like two movies of his she had seen because she doesn't really watch movies. And I was like, this is going to be like Bill Cosby, because when we got to talking about Bill Cosby, she's like, Bill Cosby's not funny. I'm like, no, Bill Cosby's not funny now because he's become more of a, you know, an advocate for, you know, getting educated and different things. And people know The Cosby Show, and The Cosby Show is a little dated. You know, it's a classic and it was groundbreaking at the time, but most people aren't watching it anymore. But then I went and showed her, you know, his stand-up, you know, Bill Cosby himself, and she now will throw that in on her own. I don't have to, you know, say, do you want to watch that? I will come home and find her watching it. And I'm like, so we'll have to, you know, pick up live at the Met, you know, as you mentioned, because I have another buddy that I talked to just, you know, right after finding out about it, and he mentioned that, like an hour after you did the live at the Met. And I was like, yeah, somebody else just mentioned that one as well. And so that's the one I'll have to pick up and show her and say, no, this is Robin Williams when he was at the top of his game. This is the man I remember. You know, I pulled up his IMDb filmography, and he has 104 credits as an actor. And that is just insane. What I did not realize, his first movie was Popeye.
Yes. Okay, we were out on the way home tonight. I was talking to my friend Nick, and we couldn't figure out what his first movie was. But Popeye. I remember Popeye. The thing with
saw Popeye in the theaters.
Yeah, so did I. Now, what I was going to say is the thing about Robin Williams is I will always remember him as a singular comedic performer. And more of the point, a stand-up comedian, even though he was exceptional at improv.
Right.
And, you know, did his, you know, comic talent really transfer to the screen? I think it did in some parts. But I think he really excelled in film as a dramatic actor. I think I was going to ask you what your favorite Robin Williams movie is. And I think I have to say Good Will Hunting. Because he did not bring any of his comedic talents into that movie, and he did an exceptional job playing that role. You know, I also enjoyed him in Dead Poets Society, and in Dead Poets Society, there was a couple times where he got to where he was kind of doing some stand-up during the movie. But
that is a tough one. I
mean, as far as recently, has he done any you know, good movies? You know, it's really hard to say. But I'm gonna have to make an effort to watch some of the, you know, because he's been in a lot of darker comedies.
Did you see The Fisher King?
Didn't see The Fisher King. Now, to bring back the conversation on the way home, that was the movie that got brought up by Nick on his favorite Robin Williams movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't peg it as one of my favorites, but it is a powerful movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is. I would highly recommend seeing The Fisher King. Just powerful and very interesting, and just has this. I don't even want to say. I would say, if you get a chance, watch it. Really good and dark and thought provoking. As far as favorite, I probably would be tossed up between Good Will Hunting and Aladdin. I love the genie in Aladdin.
True. That's probably an exception. That he, you know, it's, that was a role he was probably born to play. Or he was born to play the genie, and I, you know, and you can't really see anyone else doing that, because, you know, there were some deep bits that he was doing in that movie as the genie. So yes, it's very, very tragic. Never want to see anyone be, you know, in such a place that they feel that they want to take their own life.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. Do you have anything else to say about Mr. Williams?
I do not. We lost a good talent there, someone who I feel could have had still a lot more years ahead of him, and that is sad.
Yes, very sad. Okay, so let's talk about a movie that we talked about a lot last week, Guardians of the Galaxy. It seems that Guardians of the Galaxy is the number one soundtrack on the Billboard charts this week.
I saw that.
Which is pretty good, considering that there's no original music on it. It's all songs from the 70s. And I'm talking about you can buy the deluxe version, which has all of the score from the movie, and then there's a second disc that has the, you know, basically the Walkman music. But I think they released the soundtrack is really just the Walkman music, and that's what's number one. The director, James Gunn, who selected all the music, is pretty proud of that fact. So let me read you his Facebook post. Haha, Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack is the number one record in the country. All those days as a child I spent locked in a room listening to AM radio were not wasted. Parenthetically, he says, somewhere in a boardroom right now, a movie executive is trying to give a film that's not testing well the Guardian soundtrack treatment, but with a new twist. Say, 90s grunge hits over a buddy action comedy. This is something you will not thank me for.
No, but that's not what he did. What he did was gave a character a touchstone.
Right.
He didn't go, I don't believe... He went into it thinking, I'm going to throw in some oldies music and everybody's going to love it, you know?
Right.
He went into it and said, this character is from a different time. You know, he is locked in this time because of the circumstances of what happened to him in his childhood. And this is his touchstone, you know? And his touchstone was just something, it was something that we could all empathize with. That is not just throwing the music in there for the music's sake.
Right. Right. Now, I did listen to... Did you ever watch G4?
No.
Okay. One of the hosts of G4, and I just blanked on his name. Oh, Kevin Pereira. He has a podcast, and he knows a lot of people in Hollywood. And so I noticed that about 5 months ago, well, not 5 months, whenever the trailer first came out for Guardians, he had a sit-down with James Gunn. So it was an hour interview, and they were talking about certain things, that how he got the movie, and, you know, kind of as a side comment, he said, I've been after Marvel for years to make Hit Monkey, and when they called me to come in to talk to him, I thought they finally saw the light with Hit Monkey. I had no idea they wanted me to do Guardians of the Galaxy. Do you know what Hit Monkey is?
No clue.
Okay, it's a Marvel comic about a little monkey that is a mob assassin. And I guess it like wears a suit and that kind of thing. So that was interesting. But I cannot be more happy because this is his third movie. And, you know, truth be told, there probably was a lot of oversight from Marvel on this. But I couldn't be more happy for him. And hopefully he gets to, you know, keep doing bigger and bigger projects. All right. Art, do you have any other news?
Yes, I have one other thing that caught my eye. And it is 5 cosmic properties that can expand Marvel's interstellar universe. And I thought that was interesting to consider the possibility of, yes, Guardians is going to tie into Avengers, but now we can also, you know, they can, after that is done, spin out into the cosmic, you know, instead of, you know, staying at the superhero level or going down to the street level, we can go out to the cosmic level. And the first one on the list from this article is the Inhumans.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with them at all? The blue area of the moon?
No.
The Inhumans are they're human-like people. They're aliens and mutants, and they get exposed. They expose their children to this Terrigen mist, and it brings out superhuman powers. The leader of the Inhumans is a man named Black Bolt, who has like a sonic power released, you know, through his voice, and the barest whisper will, you know, devastate city blocks. You know, if he were to scream, you know, it could destroy a city. So he's a man who never talks. You know, that is, and they're all very interesting and different and kind of twisted characters.
Hmm.
I've followed them from time to time. Adam Warlock has been mentioned in Guardians. I did some research on the original Guardians team, on the what is the connection. I remembered, like, almost as soon as we got done recording, you had asked me if Vance Astro was related to Captain America. And as far as I can find, the original Vance Astro is not related to Captain America. What he did was he went searching for Captain America's shield. And he ended up with it. And then, you know, he changed his name to something like Major Victory and, you know, kind of changed his character concept a little bit, but, and became more Captain America like. So, but not at all related to Captain America, just someone who went and carried the shield after Cap was long gone. And Adam Warlock is somebody who, you know, he carried the Soul Gem, which is one of the Infinity Gems, and hung out with Drax the Destroyer, Gamora, Pip. He had a whole cast of characters who ran around with him, and they each had one of the gems. And that was kind of his comic. And I always found that one very interesting. And that they've already laid some of the groundwork for. I would like to see more of... That was one of the things I didn't like about the Nova Corps. They were more like technology based in the movie, and in the comics, the Nova Corps, they were each in their own right, sort of like a not Superman level, but that, you know, strong, fast, flies, you know. It was basically a whole group of superhumans that had kind of the same power set.
Mm-hmm. Like Nova?
You know, yes, like Nova.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'd like to see that, you know, them sort of go that direction. I don't know if they ever would, if they, you know, say they develop some technology to where a certain percentage of their soldiers are these type of soldiers, and see where that story goes. That could be really interesting.
No, it sounds interesting. I've actually seen Black Bolt before, but it was on a Facebook game, not in a comic. This Avengers Alliance, they're pulling out all kinds of heroes and villains I've never heard of.
Right.
That you can get on your team and that kind of thing. So.
Gotcha.
Okay, so my last news article is something that has nothing to do with comic books. I know, shocking, huh? Apparently, J. Michael Straczynski has announced plans for a feature-length Babylon 5 movie that would begin production 2016. He announced this at San Diego Comic-Con. He said it is not a continuation of the television series. It will be an outright reboot.
Okay, that was going to be my first question.
He would love to have original cast members if they can get it worked out. It remains to be seen whether Warner Brothers will support the film financially. Though it's possible Straczynski can finance it himself, because he owns the rights, not Warner Brothers, to any future movies.
Oh, interesting. Right.
Yeah. So I'm excited about this. Done.
Right.
More Babylon 5.
Yeah, I enjoyed it when I watched it originally, but I never finished it. I watched like the first two or three seasons. And then it kind of fell off of my radar. And then at one point, I tried to start rewatching it. And that first season has aged terribly. It was practically unwatchable.
Yeah, the first season with the captain that they had, I mean, it was tough to watch. But when they got Boxleitner in there, it got better. And the writing got better, and some of the subplots got better. I watched all the way up to it. There's a certain point in the show where they wrapped up a big mystery, and then they kind of added a second mystery to kind of carry him out. And then it was one of those things where they were supposed to go four seasons, and they wanted to do a fifth.
Right.
And but yeah, I think I got to the end of season four. Maybe I didn't get that, but I'm just like you. I didn't finish it all the way, even though I have all of them.
Right.
I have all the episodes.
Yeah, well, they're all available to watch online.
Well, this was back before Netflix really got...
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I think they're on Hulu, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I think they're on Hulu the last time I checked. At least that's where I started watching them, and I got about three episodes in, and I'm like, I can't do this. It hurts.
Right. I mean, it might have been 8 or 9 years ago when I started watching it, because I didn't watch it when it aired. I did all DVD.
Okay.
All right. So, anything else?
No, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, this has been episode, I'm going to say it in the beginning like I always do, but this is going to be episode number 200, Mr. Santos.
Yes, it is.
So I just want to thank you in joining me every week. I know this, you know, this is going to be this big anniversary episode or anything, because, you know, I don't think I've gone 100. But,
no, just another day.
And to our cadre of fans that participate, I really appreciate you guys, because you guys make the show more fun.
Episode 200. It's been an adventure.
All right, so everyone, thank you for listening, and those of you who play, thank you for playing. And other than that, everyone have a great week, and we will catch you next time.